We've been listening in today on a chaotic first day of confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Earlier today, Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Charles Grassley tried to speak over protesters and Democrats, including Senator Hrono of Hawaii.
Senator, I'd like your clarification. I'd Senator like your response Hrono, on why you are requesting the minority to submit our questions to
I ask that you stop so we can conduct this hearing the way we have planned it. Maybe it isn't going exactly the way that the minority would like to have it go, but we have said for a long period of time that we were going to proceed on this very day.
Well, Senator Grassley was being pressed about the late-night dump of more than 40,000 pages of documents from Kavanaugh's time in the Bush White House. Thousands more haven't been released. Here's Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont to Kavanaugh.
You shouldn't be sitting in front of us today. You should be sitting in front of us only after we've completed a review of your record. Your vetting is less than 10% complete.
Our next guest says it's important to get the full view to see Kavanaugh's stance on executive power. Peter Shane is professor of law at Ohio State University. Democrats have invited him to testify later this week. Professor, what do you want to say?
I'll be talking about Judge Kavanaugh's stance on questions of presidential power and accountability. There is reason to be concerned about Judge Kavanaugh's kind of reflex to be extremely protective of executive power. I think that would be worrisome maybe at any stage in our history, but at this moment, perhaps especially dangerous.
Well, because we have investigations going on. And Kavanaugh, what you're referring to, I think, is that he wrote in that much-discussed 2009 article that a president should not be criminally prosecuted while in office. He wrote, if the president does something dastardly, the impeachment process is available, but no criminal indictments. And this is, of course, someone who had worked with Ken Starr in the Clinton investigation. And didn't an email recently surface that showed that Brett Kavanaugh wanted to aggressively go after Clinton, asking very specific questions about his relationship with Monica Lewinsky?
I believe that's correct. And my understanding is that the questions Judge Kavanaugh posed that could have been asked of President Clinton were quite sexually graphic. You know, there's irony here, but my greater concern is looking forward not just at the issue of indictability, but whether or not Judge Kavanaugh would think that the president has constitutionally vested authority to fire Robert Mueller, or indeed to tell Robert Mueller who he may or may not indict. I worry whether or not Judge Kavanaugh would uphold congressional or even judicial subpoenas for evidence from the president. And these are issues on which he's commented in ways that I find worrisome. And then there are also issues that President Trump is likely to raise that no court has yet addressed, but are very concerning. So one is whether the president, if he corruptly engages in an official act, may be charged with obstruction of justice. In other words, if he fires somebody that he might otherwise have legally been entitled to fire, but does so for the express purpose of stopping an investigation of himself and his friends, might that be a criminal offense? I think that's an important issue.
Do you want that question to be asked of Brett Kavanaugh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's also the question whether presidents have the power of self-pardon. President Trump has said he absolutely has that power. I think there's every reason to think he does not. But again, if you believe, as Judge Kavanaugh wrote in a law review article, that presidents should be able to do their jobs with as few distractions as possible, one way to remove distractions is to assure presidents that, if need be, they can always pardon themselves. Mm-hmm. And then one issue that is not related to the Russia investigation that's already in the courts has to do with the so-called emoluments clauses of the Constitution. These issues have to do with whether the president is violating the Constitution by profiting in his private businesses from basically the patronage of both foreign governments and state governments at his properties. And the Constitution says with regard to, you know, foreign patronage, he's supposed to account for this to Congress. He hasn't done so. There's a complete ban on receiving emoluments from the states. Congress cannot consent to that. A district court has already determined that these clauses apply to the president and potentially apply to the Trump Hotel in D.C., which the president denies. This is a very important issue of presidential accountability. And again, I worry how Judge Kavanaugh would weigh in on them. And a campaigner for broad readings of executive power might not be what the court needs right now.
Well, in your opinion, I mean, there are those who might say that he's exactly what the court needs, exactly because this current sitting president, his campaign at least, is under investigation. But take up these 42,000 pages that were dumped last night, additional documents from Brett Kavanaugh's time in the Bush White House, released late last night. Democrats say they don't have enough time to look at them. You certainly haven't seen them. They are 42,000 out of the 100,000 that Democrats said they haven't seen. Do you think that these papers might draw a line to Brett Kavanaugh's thinking about things like executive privilege when he was, say, in the Bush White House?
They might. The Bush administration was well known for having issued an unprecedented volume of so-called signing statements. Yeah, he would put a signature to a bill to make it law. He would often, over 100 times, would sign a statement that indicated what parts of the law he thought might be unconstitutional. And a lot of these objections were often based on theories of executive power. I mean, some of the claims were familiar claims about the president's responsibility for foreign policy, but many of them were entirely unprecedented and, I have to say, a little bizarre in how extreme they were. And so it would be, as staff secretary, it could be that, you know, Mr. Kavanaugh, as he then would be, might have contributed to the analysis behind these theories. He may have advocated them. He may just have gone along with them. We don't know. But they are of a piece with the positions he has taken on the president's authority over the executive branch in judicial opinions. So it's not as if there's a categorical breach between the kinds of things he might have been saying during the Bush administration and the stark opinions he's written as a judge. And what bothers me about this, if I could just add, is that the key opinions that he's written on executive power in the domestic sphere were written in cases that actually didn't call for constitutional analysis at all. It was as if he were kind of champing at the bit to take these cases as occasions to lay out in great detail his theories of executive power. And so I'm concerned that he's not just a believer in ideas about executive power that I think are incorrect, but he's a campaigner for them.
Someone from the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU wrote recently in Forbes, President Obama also didn't renounce Bush's broad vision of executive power, put it on firmer legal footing by expanding the use of drones to kill enemies overseas, creating a legal review structure. In other words, this is not just something that Judge Kavanaugh was at the heart of.
Well, there are two things to be said. Thing number one is every president is going to have political and institutional incentives to push the boundaries of their authority, particularly in foreign and military affairs, because Congress, to be blunt, has not pushed back at all on that. In domestic affairs, though, President Obama was quite careful to avoid the claims of inherent constitutional authority to basically ignore the commands of Congress in domestic affairs that President Bush was advancing. Now, the fact that President Bush made all of these objections doesn't necessarily mean that he then proceeded to defy all of these laws. But President Obama's signing statements, and by the way, they were hugely fewer. I mean, it's just a mere fraction of what President Bush issued. They just completely steered away from the kinds of complaints that President Bush was making about the so-called unitary executive, and the president's power, kind of comprehensive power, to supervise everyone in the executive branch. That was not the Obama theory.
Peter Shane, professor of law at the Moritz College of Law at Ohio State University, and he will be testifying later this week at the Kavanaugh hearings on behalf of the Democrats. Professor Shane, thank you so much.
Oh, great to speak with you. Thank you.